God, you are great. And God, we love you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you loved us first and that you called us. God, we thank you that you've given promises to us through your word. God, we thank you that you just love blessing us and loving us. God, we thank you that you lead us and you guide us and you have good things for us, that you have your word to communicate to us. God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. God, we thank you that we have victory because of you. God, we thank you that we can serve you and that you want to have relationship with us. God, we thank you for just pouring out your love on us. For pouring out your love in us with your only begotten son, Jesus. He died for us. God, we thank you. We love you. And God, I pray today that we would just continue to just seek you out and just press in and step into your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. Welcome to Sunday Church. We're glad to have all of you here. We have a few people that are away sick today. We have some people that are working today, so they're going to have to catch up with us online. Maybe they're watching now. Hello if you're watching online. I had a little panic, and I hope YouTube's working right. Otherwise, it might be working tonight at 10:30, because when I set it up in the evening and didn't notice that it went from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. until this morning when we tried to go live. So that if you notice me running around panic-stricken, it's because I realized it was 10:30 a.m. So we're starting a new series. We finished up our last series about foundations, and we're starting a new series today called Citizenship. And where we're going with that, I think you'll understand over the next few weeks. So I'm not going to dive deep on what citizenship means. But I believe that citizenship is a critical piece if we are to be a new covenant group of believers, a new covenant church. I believe that citizenship is critical. And citizenship is so important. So the first question I want to ask you today is, where is your citizenship held? Where's your citizenship held? We've talked last year, I believe it was, we talked about, you know, we are to be citizens of heaven and ambassadors here on earth. We're not to be citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven, and we're just hanging out here for the time being. So the title today is, are we conformed or are we transformed? Are we conformed to this world, or when we became believers, when we accepted Jesus into our life, did we become transformed? Did we start the transformation process in our heart and in our lives? That's really the premise of today. Are we conformed to this world, or are we transformed to how Christ has called us to be? So are you still conformed to this world? And one of the biggest problems in churches today is there is this idea that people get saved, they become believers, and they're told, that's great. Now you're Christian, and now everything is going to be great. God's going to look after you, which is biblically accurate. Let me pause there and say that. That is 100% biblically accurate, okay? Now, where does this go from there? It's an end of a certain process at that point. But the Bible teaches us that we cannot... Do I sound like I'm muffling? I don't know, maybe it's just my ears. Must just be me. Nathan's shaking his head. I'm going to trust his ears. If I sound muffly later, we'll blame Nathan. But the Bible teaches us that we cannot be conformed to this world, and that part is in our hands. We accept Jesus, and we have these promises and everything that is there for us and accessible for us. But our part is to not be conformed to this world. And far too often we've seen people come to know Jesus, and when things don't go quite right the way they think, when maybe their prayers didn't work for them, they begin to fall back in the same messes that controlled them before they asked Jesus into their life, rather than allowing their life to start to be transformed. There are Christians who have been believers for years, and they get some kind of pain or a storm or a relationship issue, a financial issue, and they choose to take their lives back from God and try to control things and take things back and that they escaped from and which God had brought them out of. And this is part of people being control freaks and prideful, because they think that they own control. And they own a control, they own their portion, but they try to take God's portion back. And this is a sign that people are actually still conformed to this world. And so there are two types of Christians. There are two types of Christians. There are those who have worked out the transformation process in their lives, and there are those who have not. I'm going to draw the line and make it this simple today, okay? There are those who have worked through the transformation process, and I'm not saying maybe if you haven't arrived or you've arrived, you're still working through the process, whatever it is, but there are those who are unwilling to even put the effort in and work through it and fully fathom and understand what God has for them. See, when you don't work out the transformation process, if you're still conformed to this world, even as a believer in Christ, as a follower in Christ, you might have been born again, you'll still live a challenged life. Basically, you'll be held in hell until you die and you get to go to heaven. Unless you work through that transformation process. This is really the key today, guys. Transformation is key. We can't be conformed to the world. We need to transform our lives, our minds, everything. Or else we're going to continue to keep ourselves in the same rut that we've been in forever. Sure, we know we're going to heaven, but we're stuck in the rut. And we need to allow our minds, our bodies, our spirits to be transformed and understand the power that we have with Christ. That's what we need to do. There are too many believers that are still struggling with things like addictions, suicides, adultery, pornography, all these things, and I'm just naming a few. All these things, there's a lot of believers that are still stuck in this because they haven't transformed and renewed their lives and mind. They're angry or depressed or unable to walk out the joy of the Lord and the laughter that only Jesus can bring and the positivity and the focus that only Jesus can bring us. They're angry or depressed and just unable to walk it out. So here are a few signs of someone who still might be conformed to the world rather than walking in the victory that Jesus can bring, okay? If they have lack of knowledge of the Bible, is the first one. Hosea 4:6 tells us, and this isn't slides, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of my law, where I reveal my will. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Or maybe number two is if they are being controlled by the desires of the flesh. So things like sex, power, money, greed. If that's what's controlling them, Romans 8:5 tells us, "For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh which gratify the body, but those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." Maybe if they're weak or decisive or double-minded is the third thing, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all the ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. That's James 1:8. Here's a good one. The fourth one I have is a really good one, I think. A good way to tell, and I think this is true for a lot of people, especially a lot of believers, is fantasizing on negativity. How many people do you know like to fantasize or think on, focus, embellish, dream up the negative in their life? And they allow these negative thoughts, negative mindsets to run their life, control their thoughts. Have you met some people? Because I've met some believers that this is where they're stuck at. And I believe as we get transformed, we are not focused on the negativity. We are focused on the promises and the blessings of God. See, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "The weapons of our warfare warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. Maybe it's the fifth thing is if they're refusing to change and they're defending their past behaviors and making excuses for yourself. Do you know believers that do that? Maybe you're one of them and you're like, oh, that's me. I make excuses for, you know, whatever. Number six is, are you spending all your time on natural, earthly, material things rather than the things of God? The things that maybe aren't bad things, maybe things like, I like golf, but it's not my obsession, but hockey or sports or movies, they're not bad things, but they're not allowing God to have the time that he needs, and you're filling yourself up with all these pastimes and pleasures rather than spending time in the Word. Number seven, are you allowing emotions to control your attitudes and behaviors? Number eight, if you're allowing fear, anger, bitterness, gossip, or negative thinking to consume you. Boy, that's a hard one for a lot of believers. They allow that negative thinking, once again, that gossip, that fear, to just take them over. And case in point, what the world's going through right now. What churches are going through right now, where they need to decide where are they going to stand. Christians need to know the truth. And the truth is, you can be born again, you can be spirit-filled, but if you don't stop conforming to the world and going about the process, you will live no different than the life you had before, because you're going to refuse to walk with the transformation that Jesus has called you to. People who do not do the work of learning God, spending time in the Word, till they own it, they believe in their mind the negative things, and they are easy prey, they're easy targets for the enemy. Far too many believers are in that boat. And I pray that as a New Covenant church, as New Covenant believers, we don't fall in that boat. I don't want us to be in that boat. I don't want us to be easy pickings for the enemy. Because if you don't have the tools, if you haven't transformed yourself, you haven't transformed your mind, you are easy pickings. And as we talked last week, the only weapon the enemy can really do to go after you is really to go after your mind when you become a believer. So are you going to allow him to? Or are you going to know and stand on the truth? Now that's really a tidbit into what this series is going to be. Okay? But we're not done yet. Don't worry. I'm not letting you out this early of class. I'm not giving you an extra long lunch break today, okay? Remember those as a kid? You couldn't wait? Come on, right? I was excited to get outside. I wasn't. I just wanted to not have to be in class. You guys are excited to be here, though, and you're excited to be watching online or wherever you're at. So God created us for two reasons. The first reason is to be like him, and the second reason is to be close to him. That's why God created us. He created us for relationship with him. And God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And this is a stunning thing to say. We need to know what God is like if we're to be like him, don't we? If we don't know what God is like, how do we be like him? We need to know God's word and to know what is the image of God. What is his attitude, behaviors, and personality? Those are the things we need to know. And when we know God properly, we will become like the God we believe and how we see God. If we don't know God properly, if we don't know his scripture, we come up with a really skewed view of God, this really skewed image of God. If we don't know who he is and what he stands for and his attitude and his personality, how do you know what you're going to be like, or how do you know what God is without knowing him? Knowing who he is, without reading his word. We need to know who God is. We need to have a proper image of God. If you see God as an angry God, a vengeful, spiteful God, maybe you've got this picture of God being vengeful and spiteful, and he put cancer on you, or he put sickness on you. And if you see God as a God maybe who would bankrupt your business, you've got a really skewed view of God, because that's not who God is. And I'm honestly, I might have said that a little loud, but I'm a little bit tired. Can I even say sick? I'm sick and tired of hearing believers say stuff like this. You don't know God if you think that God has put you in this. If God has given you cancer to slow you down, or, you know, God has taken this so I can focus on. God doesn't do that. That's not my God. That's not the God of the Bible. And this is why it is crucial that we know the Word of God. The thoughts, the thinking, the way God is. We need to know that as believers. We need to have our mind transformed. And the greatest place to look is Jesus, who came to the planet and laid down his life for us, for you and for me. He came here for us, so that we can have right relationship with God the Father. And Jesus says in Scripture, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, right? That's a great place for us to look. Now, there are two sides to relationship with God. First, there's the legal side. When you get into the Word of God, you need to understand from the cross to the throne, as we talked about the past few weeks. We need to understand everything from the cross to the throne and everything that happened there. And that all outlines a brand new legal covenant, the new covenant that we fall under. And in case you don't know what a covenant is, maybe you're watching online, you're like, what is a covenant? It's basically a legal document. So there's a legal, spiritual covenant for us. And without knowing this legal covenant, we will find it difficult to serve God. What Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the throne, what they all mean for us, for you, for me. These are critical pieces that we need to know from the Word. Everything to do with his teaching from the cross to the throne is our legal right, our inheritance, our privilege, who we are. You need to know your legal side. And then there's this experiential side. The experience side. Let's just say that, because I can actually say that word. The experience side to salvation and our relationship with God to following Christ. And this is where you experience him. His love, his joy, his miracles, his peace. People who only focus on the legal side are often, let's say, dry and religious people. But those people that look at the legal side and or don't look at the legal side and only look at the experiential side, they don't fully know the Word of God and get off on crazy tangents, and they're all over in left field, right field, center field. They're all over the place because it just feels good. Sound like a hippie. Feels good, man. Is that hippie sounding? Rick, that sounds like a hippie, right? Yeah. I could see, no, Rick wasn't a hippie. Rick was. Tie-dye shirt, long hair. Peace, man. Sorry. Too far. Stacy will tell me that later. But they get on these crazy tangents because it just feels good. And we need the legal side of knowing God, what he did for us. We need to know the rights and the privileges and everything that we have that have been written in his word. We need to know the legal side. But on the other side, we also need to experience God, and we need to know the experiential side of knowing God, the laughter, the joy, the love, the peace. We need to know them. We need to know both sides, and that is part of the transformation that we go through. God has given us righteousness without shame of who we are and who he made us to be. There's a difference. I'm really hitting you guys with a lot of stuff today, okay? And it's just going to be points, and we're just going to hammer through it. Bear with me. We might be here till 2. Actually, it might not be okay because I got a brisket that I'm smoking. But there's a difference between spirit salvation and soul salvation. God has provided a gift to you and I. And the minute you start believing on Jesus, you get the gift of salvation. You become a brand new creation. And with brand new nature in your spirit. This is your spirit, man, alive with the presence of Jesus. This is your nature. This is who you are. You're a spirit with a soul living in an earth suit. That's our skin. I'm not going to pull my earth suit because it hurts. It doesn't come off. But physical death is simply to be separated from your physical body, and you will still live on for eternity. The salvation when you first give your life to Jesus, you are born again in your spirit. And all the power you will ever need to make your body a living sacrifice and renew your mind is there with the presence and power of God in you. You're a brand new creation with a brand new nature. You don't have two natures, like some biblical Bible translations will tell you. It gets confusing. Some Bible versions, translations will, anywhere there was the word flesh, they'll use the word nature. Which is confusing because it looks like you have two natures if you read it. And we know we can't have two natures. As a born-again believer, you can only have one nature. And because that comes out of your spirit and Jesus is there. The rest are learned desires, learned ways of thinking, which is something with our transformation needs to be changed, our way of thinking. Because far too often we have this carnal way of thinking our life through, rather than this supernatural way of thinking that Jesus has given us when we accepted him. So let's quickly talk about a few thoughts about transformation instead of conformation, okay? So instead of being conformed, let's talk about transformation. Living a life transformed rather than living conformed to this world. So number one, you can change to make your life what you want it to be. You can change to make your life what you want it to be. So if you have a map, has anybody ever had a map when you're driving in a city? Right? Most of us don't have maps anymore. We have our phones, but they still have a map on there. I remember years ago, it's great that my mom's here. She'll love this story that I have. I remember years ago, I would have been like, oh boy, pretty young, like maybe grade 3 or 4. And I remember we went on a holiday and we were driving, or dad was driving, and we're driving, and every time dad turned the corner, my mom turned the map. And we drove around Edmonton for hours. This is a little different than that. This is like driving around Edmonton with a map of Saskatoon, though. Have you ever been in the wrong city, and it doesn't matter how good your attitude is, how positive you are, how good things look, you have the wrong map. And you'll stay lost if you have the wrong map, and you'll never arrive at your desired destination. You can't. And there are so many Christians today who are born again, but they have never worked out getting to know the Bible and understanding the things that are there for us. They have the wrong map. And all they can do is pull maybe a few scriptures here or there, one or two, and they say, well, God's in control. God's going to look after me. God is sovereign. Have you heard those believers? And all they can do is pull a couple scriptures. Well, those are all true things, but are you transformed? There's much more than, I'm going to knock this thing off. I'll hold it when I do this. There's much more to the Bible than just these few scriptures. There's so much more. And there are so many promises filled in his word. And yes, he is sovereign, but do you know what his sovereignty, his sovereigns, whatever, him being sovereign actually means to you? Do you know what that means? We'll talk about that in a few weeks. But do you know what that means? It's not, he's got it all, it's all perfectly planned out. That's not what it means. We have to do our part. And we've talked about this even a few weeks ago, but we need to understand, what does it mean when we say the Lord is sovereign? Because we can't use it as our catch-all. There are so many Christians that have the wrong map today. And a lot of Christians even hold on to the old map, right? Could you imagine driving through Saskatoon with a map from 1936? How far would you get? Well, this is how it's always been. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Or Romans 10, 9-10 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Guys, we need to get the new map. And we can't just keep holding on to that old map, even that old life that we had at one time. I don't know if I had, did I have both verses there? Oh, sorry. You got a bonus verse. Second thing is the new birth changes your spirit, renewing the mind changes your soul. The new birth changes your spirit, renewing the mind changes your soul. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world. If you are conformed to this world, you are still unhappy, sad, or depressed." Do not be conformed to this world. Can I say that again? Do not be conformed to this world, because this world is full of unhappiness, sadness, depression, anxiety, fear. Do not be conformed to this world. A lot of our issues with our perspective and how we are conformed are based on things as we were raised. A lot of us, our world is based on around, as Bill says, your soup, right? It's your background, it's your history, it's the things that have, everybody adds a little bit to your soup. I think I'm understanding this right. And we can't allow that soup to mess us up. We need to be transformed and allow the Holy Spirit to change our whatever type of soup up to tomato soup, pea soup, whatever you like. We need the Lord, we need Jesus to change our soup. And we need to allow that learning to happen, and we need to renew our mind. We need to be transformed. Have I said that enough today? I hope not, because I got lots more of it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, that means live it out, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to understand that we have the ability with what God has placed in our spirit and what God's word says, you can change the way you think. But if you don't transform or renew your mind by going through a process every day, you're going to be challenged. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is what? It's the power of God." Is it there? Oh, it's there. I put it there. Sorry. It's the power of God. That's what the cross is for us, is it's the power of God. The message of the cross is our legal right that we have and how we live to earn it, or live with it, sorry. You will not walk with the power of God unless you know your legal right. Right? Correct? I mean, you know what I'm saying. Unless you know your legal right, you're gonna hit and miss life, and you're gonna live like the rest of the world. So you need to know your legal right, and you need to allow it to transform your life. You need to allow the legal right to transform your mind. You need to allow your legal right to transform how you live. Number three, renewing of the mind is more than learning. It's changing. We need to become aware of how we really think and believe. We need to become aware of how God wants us to think, don't we? Focus our thoughts on God's thoughts. Practice the thoughts of God until they are our own thoughts. That's how we need to live. We need to live the thoughts of God in our everyday life. And how do we live the thoughts of God if we don't know Him, if we don't know His Word? We need to know His Word, and we need to allow it to transform our life so that we're not conformed to the world. Are we transformed or are we conformed? We need to be in the Word and live it out daily, don't we? That's key, I think. You're not going to get to the point and say high fives, everyone, or high fours if you don't have thumbs. I've renewed my mind So high fives, or high fives or high fours, whatever you got. You can't say that. You can't just say it. You can't just say, my mind's renewed. High fives. It's good. You need to spend time in His Word, and you need to get to know what the Word says. It actually says, you can't just learn by osmosis or whatever you want to do. Oh, I'll just look at my Bible. That's good enough. I know what it says. You can't. You need to understand. You need to renew. You need to understand and let your mind be renewed and not conformed. You need to be transformed, not conformed. It's a continual thing that we need to do. Every day, it's the Word of God that causes our mind to be renewed. It causes us to rise up and to be focused. Number four, I'm flying through these today, guys. We're going to be out of here in no time. Renewing the mind is a lifestyle. It's not an experience. Renewing your mind is a lifestyle, not an experience. See, too many believers love to talk about this one experience that they had. There was this one time at camp. There was this one time at this conference. There was this one time. It's not just a one-time thing. When we are spending time continually in the Word of God, understanding what is there for us, understanding what He has for us, understanding what He's done for us, and when we fully understand the legal side of what everything and the experiential side, and we allow our mind to be transformed and not conformed, it's not going to be an experience. It's going to be a lifestyle. We need to be a church that moves beyond the experience, and this is our everyday life. We don't play church here. It's not a play. It's not a game. It's not just living for the moment. Oh, we got 2 good minutes at service today. Yes! Oh, when Mary sang that song today, it really touched my heart. Yes, I felt it. But it's an experience, or it's not an experience. It's a lifestyle of our life. It's how we live. It's what we, it's not just a one moment to grab and strive for, but it's a continual movement from experience to experience. And when I say that, I don't mean there's a down to the experience. I mean we are continually moving upwards, trending more for greater. Renewing the mind is so crucial that in 2 Corinthians 10, it shows us that we must pull down the strongholds of wrong thinking. Are we a church that pulls down strongholds of wrong thinking in our church? When we hear somebody using bad doctrine, speaking bad doctrine, do we say, whoa, let's just change our mindset? You're sounding like you're a little conformed to the world. We need to be transformed to the Word. We need to be a church that strives to be continually to be transformed to the world, or transformed to the Word, to what the Word tells us. It's so crucial. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captive to the obedience of Christ. Sounds a little bit like getting your mind transformed to the Word of God and what He has for us. That's what it sounds like to me. Pulling down strongholds of wrong thinking, pulling down strongholds of imaginations that you have, pulling down strongholds of negative self-views, pulling down strongholds of a vengeful God that wants to strike you down. Pulling those strongholds down and understanding that He is who He says He is in His Word, and you need to get to know Him. See, your worldview can destroy you. When you listen to the propaganda news stations, when you simply just be conformed right back to what the world has, that's what that'll do to you. When you're focused on this little news piece on Global or CTV rather than the Word of God, what it has for you. All the fear-mongering propaganda that news puts out there. It doesn't say we need to pull down evil spirits or minions. It says pull down the strongholds of the arguments and the reasonings in your mind. Change the way you think. That's what it's telling us to do. And if you continually focus on the propaganda and the things over here rather than on His Word, boy, it's hard to change the way you think. You need to change the way you're thinking, or you can never change your believing. If you stay thinking over there with the strongholds, you're never going to change your mind. You're never going to renew your mind. You're never going to change how you're believing. The Bible has so much information for us and tells us how to respond. But people have gotten Okay, I'm going to say the word, okay? Does anybody have tomatoes here? Rocks? Good. Far too many people in the church have gotten lazy. Period. I'm glad I haven't got hit with anything yet. And we need to make it our lifestyle to do things like walk in peace, walk in joy, walk in victory, walk in prosperity, believe for those things, pull down the strongholds and reach for the things of God, because he's got them there. So renewing the mind is a lifestyle. And I'm almost done. This is my last point. I know it's been a lot, but it's all just our base station. But I think the renewal of our mind is such a critical piece to living into what God has called us to do as a church, as individuals. So number five, the renewing of the mind involves taking off the old carnal thoughts of the flesh and putting on this new spiritual thoughts of God. Taking off the thoughts of the flesh and putting on the thoughts of God. See, far too often we have believers in churches that just keep on piling on the carnal thoughts. I'm not going to have enough. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have that. I wish I wasn't sick. I wish I didn't have this. I wish I was sick. Some believers think that. And they just keep putting on these stupid, silly carnal thoughts. That's not silly. But they're stupid thoughts that the world would like to try to throw at us, or you'd hear out in the world, and we just keep putting it on because maybe I'll get some attention. Maybe I'll get this. Maybe I'll feel better. Maybe God will give me attention. We just keep putting on the carnal thoughts when we really need to be putting on this thought of God and the thoughts of God and the all the things that he's called us to. We need to be putting on this spiritual revelation that we do not have to live with carnal thoughts any longer, and we can live with supernatural God thoughts. We don't have to live without and with lack. We can live with more than enough because he has promised more than enough. John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say anything about there about maybe it'll make you free, does it? Free, not three, yes. Maybe it'll make you free. It doesn't say anywhere about that, you know, if you can do 50 push-ups, then it'll make you free. It doesn't say that. It says if you know the truth, the truth shall make you free. If you know his word, it's going to bring freedom. His word is not bondage, is it? It's free. His word doesn't pile on you and I don't know what the right word is. There's a bad word, I know, but I don't. You know what? Somebody's laying on the bottom and everybody piles on top. I know what it used to be. Dog pile, not what I was thinking. That'll get me kicked off Facebook and maybe out of the church. A dog pile, not the other pile that I was thinking. I don't know why I couldn't think of anything else. A dog pile. It's the word of God, when you know the word of God, it's not a dog pile on you. It's free. It's freedom. When you're in a dog pile, what can you not do if you're the bottom guy? You can't breathe. You can't move. You're captive. That's not the word of God. The word of God is freedom. See, this is the important thing. When we transform our mind, when we transform our lives, we actually can walk in freedom. Because we know his word and we know what it says about us. We know what it says about our things like finances, health, joy, peace, prosperity. We know all those things because they're in his word. And I don't see anything about there about bondage. It says when we know the truth, it will make you free. We need to know his word because his word brings us freedom. You need to know the truth. I'm going to invite Mary up. We need to know his word. And we need to fully know his word. See, Luke 6:46-49 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Well, there's a lot in the Bible that a lot of believers don't do what he says or don't live according to what he says. They would rather live in the doggy pile. I got to really focus on saying doggy pile. They want to live in the doggy pile for whatever reason, when we could live this life that is free. Where was I? But why do you call me, I'll just read it all again. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth with a foundation against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. See, here's what I picture this as, and what I'm using this as is transformed or conformed. You hear the word, you read the word, you do the word, you allow the word to change you, and you start building your house on the rock. If you hear the word and you listen to people and you do this, and maybe you read the word the odd time, but you don't allow it to change you, you're conformed in the sand or in the dirt. And what happens? It'll just wash you away. You need to be transformed in order to be fully firm on the good foundation of God. We need to know what he says in his word. We need to live what he says in his word. You need to renew your mind, spend time, and reprogram your brain to what he says. Because when we know the word, and we've allowed the word to fully impact our spirit, to right to our root, right to our core, what happens when Joe Schmo comes at you like the vehement rapid? Nothing, because you know the word and you can speak word back. We've talked about one of the most powerful ways we can pray is like Jesus prayed, and he quoted scripture when he prayed. We can quote scripture when we prayed and take all authority over that storm or that rapid that might try to come at you. At you. I'm going to try to speak professionally here. You have the authority in Jesus to speak to whatever wave might come at you and speak scripture at it. You have the authority to live a changed life when you're transformed. But it's up to you. The choice is yours. Are you going to transform or are you just going to keep conforming? Are you going to keep expecting to get punishment, or are you going to live in the victory that Jesus has already brought us? Choice is yours. We need to get rid of the old and build our life on this firm foundation of his word. We need to learn to take off the old and put on the new. Remember what we said a few weeks ago? Take off and put on? With the attitude, we need to do that. We need to take off and put on the old way of life. We need to take off and put on this anger. We need to take, or not put on anger, but put on joy. You know what I'm saying, right? We're not going to take off anger and put on more anger. We're going to take off anger and put on joy, the joy of the Lord. We need to learn to take off the old and put on the new. And if we don't, if you don't, life is just going to probably not be great. Because you're not walking in the victory that you have. It's your choice where you walk. It's your choice what behavior you walk with. It's your choice where you set your mind on. Are you setting your mind on things of this earth, or are you setting your mind on things above that are promised in his word? It's your choice. Maybe things feel like turmoil. Maybe you need to, if you're feeling like life is just turmoil or it's constant battle, a constant mess, maybe if you're continually just scratching to try to make some headway here, maybe you feel like you're in the doggy pile. I'm going to tell you, you've probably been conformed to the world long enough, and maybe it's time to transform. Start allowing that transformation power and work of God to work in your life. The word is what will give us strength. The word tells us we don't have a spirit of fear. The word tells us we can have life and life to the fullest. The word tells us we can have prosperity and blessings. So what spirit do we have? Do you have the spirit of fear? Do you have the spirit of turmoil? Have you just grabbed onto that and allow it to doggy paddle? Or are you walking in the transformation power of love and a sound, disciplined mind? The choice is yours. The choice is yours where we walk as disciples and renew our mind, or do we just continue to conform it? The choice is yours. I'm going to invite you guys to stand with me as we close in prayer. And if the Holy Spirit stirred you, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, or maybe you knew Jesus at one time and you want to rededicate your life to Him, we're going to give you that opportunity, and we're going to ask you just to repeat this simple prayer with us. And it's nothing super fancy about it. It's just a simple prayer, but it's just an act of obedience. And it's a starting point to cross that line. Or maybe you say, hey, I knew Jesus at once, but I haven't been walking with Him. Just repeat this prayer with me and just agree with me and pray with me. And I'm just going to ask everybody in the room whether you know Jesus already, and I'm just going to invite you just to repeat the prayer with us. And everybody online, just repeat the prayer with us. If you know Jesus, that's fine. Just repeat it in case somebody that you're with just doesn't know Jesus, just doesn't feel comfortable yet. And we want to make this a comfortable moment and a victorious moment for them. So would you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that I am now free. So Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. And from today on, I'm chasing after you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus for me to die in my place. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you said that prayer for the first time, call me, 306-882-2453, or email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca, or message me on Facebook, message us on YouTube, whatever you need, connect with us. I want to give you a Bible, I want to connect with you, and I just want to talk greater about this transformation opportunity you have. Now, we're going to do something also just a little extra here today, and I want to offer a chance for those of you maybe that have just been living conformed to this world. And you're like, yep, I've let that dog pile push me down, and I have not decided to actually rise up and step up and walk in the victory that is available for me. I have allowed the heaviness of the world to drive me into fear, to not allow me or not allow myself, I guess, to walk in that victory that's available for me. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to just agree with me as we pray this prayer. You don't have to do anything right now. Just agree with me. If this is you, if you have not been walking out the transformation that Christ has given us, that Jesus has brought us through His death and burial, resurrection, ascension, from the cross to the throne, if you have not walked that out and walked out the authority and the abilities that Christ has given you through all that, just pray with us and agree with us right now. And if you're like, man, I'm good. I've been getting transformed all along, or I've been transformed. I'm going to continue to walk out transformation, because we never really arrive. It's a continual lifestyle process. But if that's you, just agree with, pray for your other church members. Pray for those watching online as we pray right now. But I'm just going to invite you to pray. Just agree with me today. So, dear God, we just thank you. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus so that we can live a transformed life, so that we don't have to conform to the death and destruction of this world, that we can plant our core of our house on your firm foundation, Jesus. God, I pray for those that might be going through this change and this transformation, and that are wanting to even start the transformation today, God. I pray that you would give us all someone to connect with, someone to walk with, Father, as we transform closer to you each day. Father, I pray that as a body and group of believers that we would seek you out, seek others out to help us grow together towards you. Father, so that as a church we can be supernaturally transformed and changed and walk in the power and authority that you've already called us to walk in today, Jesus. God, I praise you and thank you for hearts that want to change and people that want to change their lives, Father. God, I thank you for those that are tired of living this conformed lifestyle and that want to walk into so much more. Father, thank you for the victory that you brought and that you sent your son Jesus, that we can live a life of victory, of blessings, of joy, of prosperity, of peace, of health. God, I thank you that we don't have to walk about sickly, deathly people, but we can walk around healthy, bold Christians. The type of people, God, that this community wants to see and be like. Father, that we wouldn't live a life of and walk around poor and sad and sick, but we would walk around rich, blessed, and healthy. So God, we thank you. Father, I praise you and thank you for each individual watching online today and each individual here today with us. Father, I pray that the words I felt impressed today, God, to say that it will have an impact on each and every one of them today, God, and that as a body of believers, we will rise up and step out and allow the transformation power of your word to work through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, I'm going to invite you guys just to stay standing here. We're gonna sing here in a moment, but for those of you watching online, we're going to let you guys go. God bless and have a great week.